right, you got enough candies? Anybody short of candy? You all sugared out, you're all quiet? All right, let's go ahead and I guess the children are gone. Let's stand up one more time to pray and believe God together. We're not going to get anywhere without believing God. We need your participation. And we thank God for prayer. Everybody say amen. Amen. We thank God for answered prayer even more. Can have a big amen. Amen. You know, prayer without faith is really, every prayer that we pray, you have to understand about the, you know, the process of faith, how faith works. So we're believing tonight that God will give us answers. This is going to answer things for you in your life, whatever it is. You know, no matter what need you have tonight, I could be preaching on one thing, but God will answer another thing for you, no matter what it is. So believe God. So we're not limited to what we want to do, per se, in this teaching time, but over and above beyond that, God has something new. Praise God. Amen? Get something that you're believing for, that you want done in your life, and maybe perhaps you believe in God for your family. Anybody believe in God for their family for something? Finances, any kind of worries, fears. We're believing God for our city. How many people believe in God for your city to change? Amen? We've had all kinds of challenges with our police accusations against the police or whatever, if it is or not, and against our, you know, our mayor. These are the signs of the times. We're believing God. You guys can stand up too, praise God. Are you guys sick? Come on, stand up. Let's stand up. Let's participate, man. Hallelujah. I've asked you. I'm sorry. Are you that tired? Let's go ahead and pray for them right now. I was teasing these ladies every after service last couple of weeks about a few things. And so, anyway, you know, we have to believe God. Amen. Amen? We've got to believe God for whatever it is we need. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole pile of needs that we have in our city. And we want to stand with those that are working for righteousness, you know, in our police force, those in government and our civic governments, that they're doing the works of God. And that we're believing God for our schools and those that are responsible for schools. And God wants us to pray for them. And that our schools will be a safe place. We also want to believe God for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I think it's better. Amen. Don't you think they should get better? They should get better. So we're believing God. I mean, you got to believe God for everything. Amen? We believe in God for even the Montreal Canadiens. The Bible said, pray for your enemies as well. So we're believing God for them too. Amen? Glory to God. Are you okay about that? Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we want to thank you tonight for the work of God among us. We thank you for the faith, the work of faith, and the love of all the people towards one another. We're standing and believing that this word will change lives. And so we know that there are things that are happening in advance, that the enemy has plans to destroy and kill and steal. But you have a plan right now, this moment, to begin to destroy that plan by the word of faith tonight. We thank you that you will undo the works of Satan that are arrayed against the people of God, and they'll hear something today which they will use tomorrow. Maybe it's death, or maybe it's a financial ruin, maybe it's relationship, maybe it's divorce and whatever situation that's going on. Maybe it's their children, maybe their children going wayward, and maybe they're on drugs or trying to get off drugs. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, all these fears that we have, we pray that you have an answer. And so, Father, right now we stand in faith against the enemy. We come against him. We command him to get his hands off every aspect of our lives, spirit, soul, and body. And so, in the name of Jesus, we bind him. We command him to get his hands off every area. in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we pray that your angels, ministering spirits, will go forth and cause money to come, cause salvation to come, cause deliverance to come. They will come in and destroy the works of the enemy. We give you praise for all the answers that the enemy will not have any way, because you said that no weapon, nothing, none, shall come against us and defeat us. You said not to be afraid of anything in life. So we thank you that we are obedient to your word. And Psalm 23 said, I shall not be afraid. So we thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen, and give them some praise right now. Hallelujah. We praise you and thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Glory to God. Glory to God. We lift up holy hands. Open our mouth with praise and thanksgiving, for you are good and your mercy endures forever and ever. Amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. Sister, you may be seated down. Praise God. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. It is a good day to be alive. What did I do with my phone? Do you have my phone? See, my wife knows all this stuff. Checking out all my mail. Make sure it's okay. Hallelujah. It says that I'm driving, do not disturb me. Okay, that's my wife. Glory to God. Well, I just want to invite those people that are watching online, live stream. Thank you for joining us today at Faith City Church. And if you're ever in town, or if you are in town already, we want to invite you to Sunday morning at 10:30. And on other various areas, you can go to our website, faithcitychurch.ca, and find out the programs and services which we have here at Faith City. If you want to become involved, we do have leadership development training, faith foundations, we got baptism. If you want to get married or buried, we can help you in advance, because we are faith people in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Did you find Psalm 34? Psalm 34. So topic number four, the fear factor series that we have tonight, that we've been going for a while now, titled message is Mastering Fear. Mastering fear and number one priority in overcoming your fears. Psalm 34, 1-4, the Bible says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from some of my fears. All of my fears. Isn't that wonderful? Some say, that's wonderful, thank God. But I'm still scared. I propose this idea to you tonight, and that is no Christian should ever be in bondage to fear. Not one Christian should have fears. And I didn't say that it doesn't exist. I just said we shouldn't have fears. I didn't say you'll ever feel afraid. There's a difference. So, as an introduction, we want to say that some people have allowed fears or their fear to cripple them in their lives. Some are completely paralyzed by their fears, that they can't participate fully in life. God said, I'll come to give life, to come to give it more abundantly. God wants, you know, the Amplified says, I have come that you might enjoy life, that you might enjoy it to the full. That's the Amplified. So some are completely paralyzed by their fears that they cannot participate in what God has given to them. They have been given dreams from God himself. God has given them assignments that they cannot completely participate in because fear has crippled their lives. And when fear comes in, Fear cannot, if fear is dominated, you cannot have faith. So what can we do? Curl up in a fetal position and stay in bed all day. Put your head in the sand, you know. So there are some things we have to do. So master your fears. Everybody say master your fears. So there are people who have been paralyzed by fear, as we say, throughout their whole lifetime. All their lives. I have a cousin, or had a cousin, who was completely taken by fear that this person could not leave their house. Literally. And died that way. I have known some folks that are in the hospital right now because of fear. We don't have to have any kind of fear. How many people know that? Notice the scripture as we read earlier, Psalm 34, in verse 4. He says, He has delivered me from all my fears. So I will not be afraid. So that's a command from God. He said, I will not be afraid. Didn't say you'll ever have a feeling of being fearful. He didn't say you'll never have an occasion or a temptation to fear. But you'll have them all the time. They're all around you. But you don't have to allow it to get in you. Can you say amen? Is this okay? I'm going to be like Larry Salt. Is this all right? And if I said no, he'd go on anyway. So I might as well not even say anything. Okay, so anyway, some people are so fearful they cannot venture out from beyond the comforts of their own homes or whatever normality they have, or say that they're normal. Even with tremendous vision from God or assignments that are God-given, these people cannot seem to venture out to participate in that. You could have a dream right now that God has given you. And I'm sure, I'm 100% sure, 100% sure that everyone in this room, that God has given assignments and God has given vision. But some are afraid of people. They're afraid of man. They're afraid of failure. They're afraid of, they might die. They might fail. And we need to see that God wants us to be successful. You know, Psalm chapter 1, the Bible says that, in verse 3, says that that we can be successful in everything we do, including overcoming fear. And so they're captured by fear. And God has a master plan right now designed for you and me to overcome every fear. Would you believe, too? A few of your fears, or all of them. So, God has a plan. No matter how serious or how dangerous the fear may be, Psalm 34 in verse 4 says that He has delivered us from all fears. He didn't say He's trying to get you over fear. He's already done it. As far as God's concerned, He's already done it. So it's up to you and me to do something about it. So, you know, I kind of talked about a definition of fear many times. As fear is just a feeling, a tremendous, paralyzing sensation, emotion that would cause you to be, fearful of danger or death or whatever it is. And so notice the psalmist, he said, I will praise the Lord at all times. It's like the little boy whistling in the dark time, walking in the nighttime. He's fearful, right? But he's going to whistle, make sure he's occupying his mind. His praise, the Bible says, should be in my mouth continuously. So praise should be a lifestyle that we must continue to practice as a means of defeating fear in your life. When you're praising, it's hard to be fearful about what God has given you as far as advantages are concerned. Lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Praise is a lifestyle. Praise should be heard. I said praise should be heard. It's hard to think about what evil comes to your mind when you're praising. Like I said, right now, if I made you to think about something in your mind right now, think about anything in your mind right now and begin to count or begin to say something, you'll forget about what you're thinking about because you're talking. Mm-hmm. Right? Right. I could ask you to count 1 to 10 in your mind right now. Count 1 to 10. call 1 to 10 in your mind. And if you say, praise the Lord, go ahead and try it. Count 1 to 10 mentally in your mind right now and say, praise the Lord. You're not going to do it. So praise is a way God has given us, a practical means of just dispelling that thought in your life. Somebody said thoughts unspoken are aborted. The plan or whatever the enemy can put, in your mind. He'll bring stuff in your mind, to your mind. In fact, I don't know what condition your mind is right now. You're thinking about winter. So some people say, I'm always praising. It's in my heart, God knows me. But you know what? You know what? Every victory in the Bible shows that they were praising loud. They were praising. They were praised. Praise is another way for saying praise is when you boast about God. When you say how great God is. He says, "Let us magnify the Lord together." Yeah. That means let us tell how big God is, instead of talking about how big the problem is. The more you talk about the problem, the bigger it becomes. He says, "The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." The humble, really, that word humble actually means those that are downright depressed and low in spirit. If you're low in spirit yourself, you start praising, you'll pick your spirit up, you pick your mind up. When you're praising and saying how good things are, I don't know about you, but if you start talking negative, your spirit goes down. If you start talking things that are up, you go up. So he says, the humble share, I'm going to praise the Lord all the time. And everybody around me that knows me, you don't like anybody around you that's always so low. And, you get around them and all of a sudden you're feeling so low too. And you say, I got to go home right now. I know we got coffee, but let's I got to go home. And so, there's some folks, you can be with them all day long. They've just got so much praise about what tremendous, positive things to say. You want to be around with them all the time. So the humble, the depressed spirit of mind, those who are especially challenged with fear and depression, they need to start praising God more. So make God bigger in your life. Make him so big that you don't talk about how tough life is. The Bible says he'll deliver us from all fears. No matter what it is, God will deliver you from all your fears. So we have to train ourselves and our children not to be fearful of life. We need to train them, educate them about dangers of life and show them how to get around these kind of things, but not to be fearful of everything in life. We talked about in time past, about 3 times ago, maybe even 2 times ago. We have to know where the source of fear comes from. We look at the book of Genesis, where it's first mentioned where fear came from. We said that Adam, he sinned, and fear came into his life, and he told God that he was afraid. God says, "Who told you you were naked? Why are you afraid? Where are you?" He said, "I was afraid." So he disobeyed God, and we linked that through other scriptures where fear had something to do with dying and death. And we'll see that clearly in the New Testament, very, very clear. You cannot miss it. It is so linked together. So in Genesis, where it's first mentioned, we don't have to let fear into our hearts, according to what Jesus said in John 14:27, we saw. He said, we don't have to give into feelings of fear, thoughts of fear. We don't have to let fear stop us from doing things and enjoying life. Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If you're fearful, it's because you have allowed yourself to be fearful of those things by your crazy thinking, by the way you think. And because you think that God's not going to help you, he won't protect you, so you're afraid that he's not going to do it. He said, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let it be afraid. Do not let your heart be afraid. Don't let fear come into your spirit. Don't let it be planted in your spirit. By you talking about fear all the time, you're planting that in your spirit. And when you plant that in your spirit, this thing that you're afraid of is going to be magnified, and it will begin to be glorified through its operation in your life. This is the spiritual law. So don't walk by your fears. We walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. That is, defined as we walk by the principles of God's word. We walk by the principles of God's word and not by conditions of life or the emotions we feel and stuff. So we go to, we just go by what we should do as right. If you obeyed your body every morning when it's 6 o'clock, you would never go to work. If you just obeyed your body every day, I should just wait here for a while. If you obeyed that all the time, and you seem to be doing good there by going to work, you've been doing that for 27 years, but you could do that same thing with your fears. Okay? So use your faith in the midst of the storms of life, no matter what fear comes your way. Let's go to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 and 41. In the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, that's his disciples, let us pass over to the other side. And we saw this in many other avenues of discussion when we're talking about relating to, sickness or disease or whatever it is. Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side. Now, watch what happened after he said that. We're going to go to the other side. He says, so when he had sent the other multitude away, he took them even as he was in his ship. There was also with him other little ships. Everybody said little ships. They were following. So anyway, there arose a great storm of wind. Here's the disciples, they're with Jesus. But a storm came. Hey, the storms of life are not gonna stop because you're a Christian. Whether you're a Christian or not, whether you believe God or not, the storms of life are going to be there. Right. But you and I have an advantage because we got Jesus and his word or his word with us. He says, there was a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. So that's circumstances in life coming into people's lives, into your boat, so to speak. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. In other words, I did one of those monthly teaching that we sent out to our viewers across the nation. And so I taught that actually at Solemn Church. They invited me to preach one morning this couple of months ago. And I went to preach that message there. And I said, don't let the storms of life keep you up. Jesus slept through the storms of life. Some of you slept real good. A few months ago, weeks ago, when there was a storm, just said, there's a big storm last night. People said, what storm is that? He did pretty good. So these guys were asking Jesus, he's sleeping there. They said to Jesus, as he was sleeping on the pillow, they woke him up, They were all excited. They said, Master, carest thou that we perish? Most people always ask, you know, doesn't God care? Of course he cares. He cares about you. He's already made provision. And he rose and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and the wave, there was great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? And God's, Jesus told us yesterday, why are you so fearful? You know? So we're afraid. We get afraid. They allowed all that circumstance they saw get in them. So they imagine right away they're going to die. I had someone talk to me the other day. They sit in my office and they said, you know, I ended up in a hospital. And they gave me some pills and a ward there. And because I got so fearful, so afraid that God, you know, like they're, you know, my needs are not going to be met. I'm going to starve. My children are going to starve. Everybody, you know, like, what am I going to do? I got no, there's no way to turn. There's no avenue to turn. I got rent. I got house payments. I got a vehicle. My children need food. What am I going to do? So they ended up being sick about it. This is a Christian. God says, I'm going to take care of you. Hallelujah. It's, yeah, we said fear has always something to do with losing something. Death, losing stuff, losing people, losing friends, losing whatever it is, losing something. Always afraid to lose something. So why are you fearful, he says? So God is asking us, well, how can you, why is it that you have no faith? So he was expecting them to have used their faith in the midst of a trying time, in a fearful operation. So God wants us to use our faith against every matter of fear that we have. So I believe that's what he's telling us right now. So fears are connected to any kind of, you know, fear is actually bondage. As we see here, fears are connected to different things that bond have us in bondage. Many are paralyzed, as we said, and they're prevented from doing the things that they want to do but can't do it. They can't venture out very far. And so they've magnified the problem greater than the God or their ability to do things with God. So Romans 8:15 says, Paul talking to the Roman Christians says, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So we see fear linked to bondage or bondage linked to fear. So the fear causes people to be in bondage, paralyzed, and they can't do certain things. So Paul says, you don't have the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So we have received a spirit of adoption, whereby we know that God can help us with everything we need. We're in the family of God. God will take care of you, whatever fear you have, no matter what it is. So, you know, bondage is there. We cannot allow fear, bondage of to any kind of fear, whatever, in our lives. You don't have it. You don't have a bondage of fear. You don't have to be bound to whatever fear you got right now. If you've been fearful, it's because you have learned to allow it. You have learned to be fearful about whatever it is. You weren't born with fear. You know? So, God's just too bad. You got that. I can't help you. What are you looking at me for? Another scripture we have used in this matter is found in Hebrews 2:14-15. He says it there. For as much then as the children are... Then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, in other words, we're humans, flesh and blood, he himself, that's Jesus, likewise took part of the same. In other words, he became a man. Philippians chapter 2 says that Jesus became a man just like you and me, or a human being, as we say. He took part of the same, and through death, that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that Satan had the power of death, but he doesn't have. He had power, the power of death. Not anymore. When he rose again from the dead, in Revelation and other scriptures. He says, I have the keys of death and hell. I've given you authority now. He says, that is the devil. The devil had that. Notice that last section. And deliver them through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We are not to be in bondage to fear. We saw two scriptures already, and we saw other ones where Jesus said, why are you so fearful? So we are not to have any fears. And Rome, John 14:27, it also said, Jesus said, don't let yourself be afraid. So we have learned through observation and participation or hearing other people tell us to be afraid of certain things. Science tells us there's only two normal fears that everybody has. And that was, as a child, you have fear of falling and fear of loud noises. That's physical reactions. The fear. And everything we learn from then on is we learned it from our environment. Right? If you study that, we can see that. So we need to be so persuaded that God loves us that we're not going to be afraid of anything. Amen. Everybody say, persuaded?
Persuaded.
By love.
By love.
We have to be so persuaded how much God loves us that he's not going to let anything overtake us. He loves us so much that he won't allow bad things so ever to overcome your life if you're participating with his program. If you want to participate in your program, then you got lots to be fearful of, even as a Christian. Right? So you know, you have to say, okay, so you have to ask yourself all the time, is this in God's plan, or am I in the will of God, or am I not in the will of God? Ask yourself these questions. People are afraid of a lot of stuff. You can be a Christian all your life and be afraid of stuff. Afraid of man's opinion. Afraid of this, afraid of that. What are they going to say about you? I went through all that with Spirit of Life a lot of times with different things. You know, what if they're going to say this? Who's going to say that? What if they say that? What are you? Well, if I'm afraid, I will never step out. The first thing I had, I remember when I was on television, people say, I'm afraid people will see me. If you're on television, they're going to see you. There's not a place in town that I go that people talk to me all the time about Spirit of Life. Whether I like it or not, that's something that I try to hide. Comb my hair different and wear a hat like Ed, and they catch me. They say, you're that guy. Somebody asked me, like, you know, man, your brother has lots of good paintings, they said. I said, that's not my brother. You know? But Ed and I have that image, look-alike. We look like our dad, our mother. But, okay, so, even before you're born, God worked things out for you. Notice 1 John chapter 4, verse 15 to 19. Whosoever shall confess Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him. Did you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Then God dwells inside you. And God, and he and God. We have known and believed that the love that God had to us, God is love. And him dwell in, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. If we're so in love with God, understand how much God loves us, there's going to be no fear in your life. That God will not allow you to go down. He will not allow sickness to destroy your life. He will not allow anything. He'll answer every one of your prayers if you find scriptures that you can stand on.
Amen.
You can go before God and plead your case before God. We see this in the scriptures. Go and plead before God and say, God, I'm not allowing this to happen. You said it in your word. You said it. Does your ever kids ever tell you that? God, but Mom, you said it. Dad, you said so. And there's the same thing in Isaiah says that, come before me and plead your case before me. Let us reason together. We've heard so many stories and testimonies that some said, you know what? I'm going to, you know, someone had died and said, I'm not letting him go. You know, God, how can I do without my wife? She's part of this ministry, and then so forth, so on. You know, I can't let my best giver in this church die because they give more money and they serve and they go witnessing. They're not afraid. They're always here helping. And so if as a pastor, I can pray that way for somebody. But if you're just messing around all the time, I say, well, Lord, let them die. I mean, what can I say, Lord? Well, I would have to plead the case, but God, you know, you have to plead your case and find scriptures. And then I had an occasion to do that. I did that before with my brother. He had cancer. He was 52 years old. And I pleaded with him for years. God sent me to him for many years to talk to him. And he comes to my office one day and says, bro, I got cancer. And he said to me, pray for me. I knew right at the moment he asked me that, the Lord said to me, don't pray for him because he's going to die. And I tried to change it. I said, Lord, you know, he's only 52 years old. What can I do? And I told him, bro, it's not a matter of prayer right now. God said, don't pray. You know, I didn't tell him God that I said, God just said, don't pray. I said, you know, bro, it's not a matter of prayer. It's a matter of you getting right with God and changing your life. How many people know even if you're going to die, you can change that right now by coming to God yourself and say, God, I'm sorry for the way I was living foolishly and sickness came on me because I lived foolishly. And so, Father, I'm repenting. Help me right now until next week. No, I want to change my life. We see this in the Bible. Isaiah chapter, I can't remember what chapter, I can't remember, but when Hezekiah was dying, I had 38, and 1st, 2nd Kings 20, when Hezekiah was dying, and the prophet was sent to him, he said, you're going to die, get yourself ready, you know, make sure everything's ready, and you're going to die, and the prophet just delivered that word to him. I mean, this is the prophet of God, this is the word of the Lord. He left the king's presence, and as soon as he's walking down the court, the Lord says, go back to Hezekiah, because Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and said, God, and help me out. And God sent him back to Hezekiah and changed that word around. Change it around. Yeah. A sure thing is going to happen. God changed it around. He said, you know, God says to you, you will live another 15 years. He said, I saw your tears. I'm going to answer your prayer, and you will live another 15 years. How many people know that it says in Proverbs you can shorten your life or lengthen your life, depending on how you live? You go rock diving and skydiving, you might die early. You might die early. Stay on the ground for a bit. I mean, you could fall off over here and die. Somebody might push you off. I mean, it was not even that high. So perfect love casts out fear. There's no, because fear has torment. So fear torments people night and day. They're going to die any moment. They're going to lose that job. What if you lose your job? So what if you lose your job? I'll get another one. What if you die? Well, I'll rise again. Amen. I mean, you got to keep talking back. Don't let thoughts come to your mind without you answering. You know, like Mark Hankins tells, you know, he preaches this, never run to your giant with your mouth closed. David ran to the giant and he began to speak against what he's going to do with the giant. Don't run looking at your giant with your mouth closed. Say something. Tell it how it's going to be. Tell it what the way the word of God says it. Speak to your fear. Just say, God has not given me a spirit of fear. When you get fearful, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power of love and of a sound mind. I have a sound mind. I have a spirit of power. I have authority over you. Fear, I have authority over you in the name of Jesus. You leave my presence right now. You get away from my children. Get away from my home. And then call 911. No? And you begin to praise God for it. Thank God. You know, in Job chapter 3, verse 25, the Bible says that fears that people have can come on you once you begin to have fears. That, you know, fears, the devil kind of torments you with them and brings these fears to you. Then you begin to speak them out, and, oh, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that somebody said that Brother Hagin said this one old lady said to him, you know, pray for me, pray for me. She get up every Wednesday night at testimony service. Pray for me. Y'all pray for me that I'm afraid I have cancer. Y'all pray for me. And she died of cancer. So don't say that. Say, thank God that sickness is far from me, that every one of my diseases Jesus took, and I don't have to bear them. Thank God I will not die with sickness or disease. According to the word of God, Deuteronomy 28, in verse 61, every sickness is a curse of the law. But thank God, Galatians 3:13 says that Jesus took on the curse for me so that I can be free from every sickness and every disease. Hallelujah. We say that. And God will supply every one of my needs according to his riches and glory, not according to the standards of the social and the economic system. Yeah? We got to answer it. We got to answer with, you know, anything that the devil talks to us about fear, answer it with the scripture. Because Jesus said, it is written. It is written. Job 3:25, that thing which was great, that I greatly feared has come upon me. That which I was afraid of has now come upon me. Don't talk about how all these fears, how bad they are in your life. Don't. I mean, talk about, there. You know, here's some things happening. But you know what? Sure, this cancer could kill. But thank God, the life of God in me is working right now. You know, Romans says that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ inside of me, it's quickening my body right now. Right this second, the Holy Ghost is quickening my body right now, making me well. Praise God. Woo! God says supply all my needs. Money's coming to me right now. Praise God. Money's coming to me right now. Doors are opening. Doors are closed everywhere. So thank God doors are opening. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm 91 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, I will say of the Lord, I will say, not God, I will say what God will do for me. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge. I'm not afraid of anything. God is my refuge. He is my strength. Remember Psalm 41? We quote this, Psalm 41 and 10. You know, God says, fear thou not, for I am thy God. I will help you. I am with you. I will help you. You're not alone. You're not without help. I will help you. I'll uphold you. You see, I feel like quitting. No, God says, I'm going to hold you up. Huh? With the right hand of my righteousness. He said, I'm going to help you. I will say, Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, and my God. In him will I trust. You cannot be afraid if you truly trust God. To trust in God means that you rely on him for everything. That you depend on God for everything. To trust in God means you have faith in God. Faith in his word. You cannot trust God without knowing his word. Knowing what he says. Verse 5, I will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that fly by day. I used to suffer terror. Wake up with panic attacks at the middle of the nighttime. And just panic, you know, just so afraid. And just wake up with, sweating with fear and everything. And it would grip my heart. And I would think I'm literally dying at that very moment. And just, you know, I had two fear attacks like this in the last couple of years. One was when I was in Tulsa, the other time when I was in doing my master's studies over in the University of Manitoba. I had a tremendous fear attack. It's because I let it in my life because of exams or something. Fear of not making it. You got to have good marks, see? So whatever is you afraid of. No, I mean, something happened to me where I was so afraid it crippled me to the point where I thought I had to be hospitalized. And now I know how to overcome it. It used to cripple me for months and years at a time, but not anymore. As a kid, I learned how to be afraid of everything. My home, as I said, I didn't have food, and my mom couldn't. I didn't see my mom for weeks at a time, and years at a time almost. And be afraid. As a little boy, I mean, fear came in my life and crippled me. I didn't realize I was having, you know, what they call this PTSD. What is this called again? Post-traumatic. I didn't realize I had that. At 17 years old, I was having panic attacks on a weekly basis. See a psychiatrist, see a doctor, and I did. They couldn't explain. I was trying to tell them I got all these fears, and they kept telling me there's nothing wrong with you. But I said, but I got all these attacks. They couldn't tell me what was wrong with me. I'd be sitting in classroom, all of a sudden get hit by this thing, have to run out of my classroom, go to the bathroom, and I don't know why I'm running around. I don't know why I'm afraid. Have you ever had that happen to you, anybody? I'm the only one that had that. Well, three of us. I've had those things where it actually crippled me to the point. Now I said, where is that fear? Where is that fear? You got it in there? Where is that fear? You know? And so you go looking around for you, kicking down doors and everything. Where is that fear? So, you know, you're not afraid anymore like you used to. And it doesn't come and slap you around like you were a little kid. I'm almost done here. It's not okay for you to be afraid all the time. It's not okay for you to be so crippled by fear you cannot function. It's not okay for you to be afraid of people. It's not okay for you to be afraid of going out and getting a job. Asking questions and asking people things. Don't be afraid of people, authorities, whatever. Don't be afraid of police officers or people. Yeah. You know, if you have a relationship with people, you should be able to ask questions. Oh, I'm afraid to ask him a question. He gets all crazy. Well, what are you doing in that relationship? Get out of it. Hit him with a 2x4 and run. And ask questions after. Brother Higgins said, knock him in the head with a, you know, his brother, he talked about his brother used to tease him and beat him up because he's just a skinny guy. He said, one day I wait for him behind the school there. He come by, had a big 2x4, knock him in the head. He said, they never bothered me again. They know he's crazy enough to do anything. No, you know, the Bible says, Jesus said, 14:27, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's not okay for you to be fearful. It's not all right for you to fear things in life. It's not okay for you to not participate in church activities. No, it's not, you shouldn't be afraid to come to church. There's people who are afraid to come to church because so-and-so might be there. Or last time I went to join a church, they hurt me. So what? You know what I'm saying? There's people that the devil has got them, and they're at their home, and they're afraid to participate in life. They're afraid of everything. And so their kids are full of fear because they're full of fear. They look like they're, achieving, but they're not. They could be far more successful if they didn't have fear in their life. Imagine that. Don't be fooled by outside appearance. It's not okay for your kids to be afraid of all these things, to be involved in church and helps ministry and school events and stuff. The enemy may even quote stats to you of why you shouldn't participate in different things, make you fearful about everything in life. Jesus said, my peace I give you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives it. See, the world cannot give you this kind of peace that Jesus can give us where we're not afraid of anything. Peace, that's freedom from all anxiety, free from everything that would cause you to be so living in destruction all the time or fearful of destruction. 2 Timothy says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a solid mind. So there are various kinds of fears that people have, from a little dread, I'm fearful for Monday morning, as we mentioned. You know, I'm fear of having too much milk in my coffee. I mean, I don't want to, I'll eat these sausages, but I'm afraid of these sausages. that might cause me to have a heart attack. Whatever it is, there are people afraid of a lot of things. So it's not okay for you to have these kind of fears of any kind that would cause you to be crippled in life. In this verse, God has not given a spirit of fear. Paul is talking to Timothy because Timothy was struggling and other people were struggling. That word fear in that verse is the word timidity. Timidity. Why? Because his name was Timothy. No, it's not because his name was Timothy. The word timidity, it means to cower and to be a coward. We were watching, that show that, where Don Knotts and that guy has a family. What is the name of that guy? Remember, it's an old show. Andy Griffith Show. Remember that show? And that little guy, that little guy there, his name is Don Knotts. I don't know what his name is, his name in that show. But he says, he was trying to get those guys to become these deputies because they were afraid this guy coming in town. So they wanted to protect that, the sheriff, right? Andy Griffith. And so he tells that one guy, and that little guy, he didn't want to become a sheriff. He's like a town drunk. So he grabs this guy, and he says, "You're going to be a deputy, huh?" "Who, me?" He didn't want to be. He said, I don't want to be a deputy. He said, "Do you want the town to know you as a yellow-bellied coward?" He said, no, I don't mind. And that's what a lot of Christians are. Oh, I don't mind to have some fears. It's just little ones. So God doesn't want us to have any kind of fear. Like Monday morning, get up, kick that bed out, slip out of that bed and kick open that shower. Say, I'm ready to meet Monday morning. They say, this is the statistics I heard from a motivational speaker. He said Monday morning at 8:30 is when most people have heart attacks. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you. Sure. Why? Because people hate their work most of the time. I'm afraid to go to work. I dread this job. I hate this job. That's why, the key to having a nice, is love. Love your work. Love to, you live a long life. So what? You're starving to death. Yeah, go ahead and enjoy that job. No, that's not how it's going to work. So God doesn't want you, no matter what degree of fear it is, dread to panic. So God doesn't want us to cower in life and back off doing stuff. He wants us to get to life with a spirit of authority in life. That's what he's given us. So we have nothing to fear in life. It's not okay for us to have little fears or anything like that, or teach your kids how to fear for in life. That's all I got to say tonight, folks. Yabba-dabba-doo. Let's go ahead and stand up. Let's go ahead and somebody say, "I don't know how to pray in tongues." Well, just say, yabba-dabba-doo, yabba-dabba-doo. Thank God. Amen? Lord, we want to thank you tonight for your goodness. We want to thank you that we are free from all our fears and that we can reject fear. The Bible says that we don't have to accept it. We don't have to accept these fears in our lives. That you have made provision for every one of your children. In us, we're your children. We cry, Abba, Father. We have not been adopted to fear. We have been adopted to cry out to you today that every one of our fears that you have taken care of. Everyone say, "I do not have a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of power, spirit of love, and of a sound mind. I soundly reject every fear coming in my life. I will not fear because God loves me. He cares for me. He's taken care of every one of my needs. I'm in the will of God. I'm a child of God. I deserve the best. God has given me and reserved the best for me to enjoy life to the full. I will not panic or have any dread in life. Thank you, Father, that I am your child. Fear has no place in my life. I am not crippled by fear. I rule and reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. All right. God bless you. Have a good evening. Amen. Praise God. Well, shake a few hands to a few people as you go out. Please do that. Just shake two or three hands.